Mini episode 570 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 570. Your FDH Lounge dignitaries today are I, Rick Morris, and good friend Ben Chu, who is also managing editor of that NBALotteryPick.com. It is time again for a rite of summer, breaking down the annual FDH NBA Top 30 list, our annual ranking of the top players in the NBA. And again, this is not merely a fantasy list, notwithstanding the fact that FDH's origins are FantasyDraftHealth.com. This is a list of all-around players in the league, who you would take on your franchise if a draft were being conducted to repopulate the league, so to speak. And in terms of going through, Ben has been with us previously to break down this list, to assess it, and he is going to perform that service again today. He got a copy of the list earlier today, and of course, you can find it also the same place you find in this show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. Ben, I know you've gotten a chance to peruse. You and I had talked a little bit about this previously. Really looking forward to getting into the list with you.
Oh, I'm ready as always, Luke. Let's fire away.
All right. We'll start, as we always do, with the players who fell off the list from a year ago. And like last year, there were six players that did not make the list this year. The highest among them for last year's rankings, Tony Parker at number 16, Al Jefferson 18, Chris Bosh 22, Tim Duncan 26, Brook Lopez 28, Rajon Rondo 30. Now, in the case of somebody like a Rondo, you saw how getting into a situation where his lack of shooting ability really kind of hurt him in Dallas and really kind of, I think, diminished his perceived value a little bit. Some other guys here, Chris Bosh, that is probably largely due to his injury situation, rather illness, I suppose, that would be better said, and whether the blood clots are going to heal up and be taken care of properly. Somebody like Al Jefferson, again, it's not so much that he had a bad year. I really got the sense that there was a lot more competition to make it onto this list than a year ago, and I think somebody like Tony Parker at 16 is a good indication of that. I didn't get a sense that he really kind of plummeted this year, but it seemed like relative to a year ago, it was much harder to make the cutoff at 30. Did it seem that way to you, Ben?
I think it did in comparison, because I think a lot of us thought that, you know, this is one of those years where a lot of premier talents in the NBA that were in that mid-range vaulted themselves to the top of the list. And to know about Parker overall, he only played 68 games this season. His numbers overall around 14 points a game, 5 assists, a couple rebounds, you know, a little bit below under his career numbers. And then if you look at, you know, other guys on the list like Duncan and Rondo, they didn't have exactly the greatest years of their career, except for on the fact that Duncan continued his long streak of double-doubles and ability to get an average of 17, 18 points a game along with 10 or 12 rebounds. I think the bigger surprise on this list out of everybody, you would, in comparison to last year barring injury, I think you could say Brook Lopez. I know Brooklyn was really sort of a middling team throughout the entirety of the year, but you got to give them credit for getting to the 8th seed in the playoffs. And then he is still looking like one of the premier centers in the league, but again, injuries and other issues were definitely at hand in why he dropped off the list.
Absolutely. And it seems like this year, even kind of standing still, if you were at the back end of the top 30, it was going to be hard to make it again because of all the guys coming up from behind on you. And I think you'll definitely see that as we get into it. As we get into the third tier, this is how we'll do it. We'll count backwards to one. Starting at number 30 with somebody who had a fall of 17, the second biggest fall on the list this year. He was 13 a year ago. Kobe Bryant, still on the list for the number of games that he can give you. And again, it's going to be a controversial choice. I'm sure some people would still rate him maybe a little higher Others would question whether he still belongs on the list. But we have Kobe at 30 as sort of, I would say, a compromise call. At number 29, not on the list a year ago, Gordon Hayward, cracking it for the first time with a little bit of a breakthrough in Utah this year. Number 28, he was 19th a year ago, DeMar DeRozan in Toronto. Another year of strength as far as developing his game. Still making the list, as I said, notwithstanding the talent around him on the list, on the top 30, probably being a little stronger. Dirk Nowitzki falling from number 20 last year and number 27 this year. At number 26 last year, graduating slightly from 27th a year ago, Bradley Beal. Also pretty much where he was, well, 2 years ago, not last year. Zach Randolph, 25 this year, 25 2 years ago, just missing the list last year. So he's been kind of in that same range himself. And yet another guy with a lot of consistency from last year to this year, Dwight Howard, 24th this year, 25th last year. As we move up to 23rd, Dwayne Wade has the third biggest fall on the list. He was 9th a year ago, so a fall of 14 spots again. Kind of with Kobe at this stage of his career, you're not going to have him for an entire season, but he still gives you a heck of an impact when you do have him. Like Kobe, he's a little bit tough to slot. He seems to have more durability than Kobe at this point, which is why he's still seven spots higher. Number 22, another injury question, although we did see him late in the year, Paul George. He was 12th a year ago. He falls 10 spots. That's our fourth biggest plummet on the list this year. It seems likely that with a very strong year next year, he'll be back up closer to where he was around 12th, but it's really hard to assess the long-term effects of this injury until we see him for another year. It was such a drastic and ghastly leg injury that he had. Number 21, the biggest fall on the list, Kevin Love last year. We said when we did this, from 3 to about maybe 12, 13, 14, 15, it was pretty hard to shake them all out a year ago. He was 3rd on the list last year, 21st this year, a fall of 18 spots, largely because of the circumstances that he was in Cleveland. He went from the very utmost, I think, in terms of a system that showcased what he could do to most of the year in Cleveland, sort of the exact opposite of that. Did see in the playoffs what he's capable of still. And the shoulder injury has nothing to do with his ranking. He is expected to be back healthy at the beginning of next year. And Nikola Vucevic is number 20 on the list. He was unranked a year ago, a very strong year for him, graduating to being one of the only guys capable in the league of being a 20-10 guy on a nightly basis. So as we go from 30 to 20, Ben, what are your thoughts on this? Where you agree and where you disagree?
I mean, mainly where I agree are guys like Hayward and DeRozan and Vucevic. I mean, a lot of these guys in the third tier were, you know, all-star caliber type players over the last couple of seasons, but a lot of them are injury prone. And I'm thinking looking at this list in the third tier, outside of Hayward and Vucevic, everyone else on this list has battled injury problems over the last couple of years. I think a lot of people might say, based on the tier list, Vucevic might be a bit high because I think a lot of people expect that his game in Orlando is, he's sort of a victim of their offensive system, and by default, he's the guy that sent a lot of the noted players like Oladipo and Elfrid Payton in his rookie season. Just never really got going offensively, so by default he would get the most of the rebounds and get most of the points. A guy that I think could be a little bit lower, I think you could argue this, is that I think Paul George is a little bit too high on this list. When you ever deal with such a, you know, career threatening injury that he did, breaking his leg, it's always gonna be very hard to come back. I was very happy to see him come back. He did show that he could definitely play, but it looks like it's a long road back. I do like the inclusion of Hayward at 29 because, let's be honest, a lot of people aren't watching Utah Jazz basketball. The second half of their season was one of the best defensive teams in the association. So I think Hayward could be a little bit up, but then again, there are some people that would argue he's a fringe player. He can put statistics up, but he's never going to be the guy that you build your team around.
Yeah, he was an interesting call, and Vucevic as well. That was kind of a difficult one as well, but as you mentioned, did he belong on the next tier or did he belong at the top of this tier? And where he was slotted really at 20, I would say, was kind of a compromise pick there. So very interesting that you noted that. But as you said, too, and I guess I hadn't really noted the commonality of it. But yeah, most of the guys on this tier have injury questions, or in the case of Dirk Nowitzki, the only real injury that I see is basically age, as it were, and what is kind of eroding his game a little bit, as it happens to all of them at this stage of the career. Still, for the longevity that he's had, one of the most amazing careers ever, but Father Time does get the better of us all. So the third tier, again, a lot of question marks there. Very few guys you look at this point in time and you say with any kind of confidence you can build a team around them. Even somebody that you might have thought was close to that a year ago, Kevin Love, as I said, I expect him to ascend again next year, but that's going to be with two other, in all likelihood, franchise players there, Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. I don't expect him to leave Cleveland, so any kind of comeback that he has will be in some measure due to that, I think. The second tier, this is where it starts to get interesting. These are the guys who are not the players who can carry you to a championship at this stage, but players who can be very, very complimentary in that role or paired with another great player can do that. These are some players that are really on the cusp. We saw a number of players graduate from the second tier to the first tier this year because last year's top tier was only LeBron James and Kevin Durant. We saw a jump. We may see a jump with some of these guys next year, although, again, the top tier is seven deep, and that's about as deep as it generally ever goes in the NBA. Who out of these guys will graduate? Looks like a couple of them could. Let's start at number 19 with Damian Lillard. He was 21st a year ago, so kind of hanging in there steady from where he was. Number 18, one of the higher guys to jump onto the list, Kyle Lowry in Toronto. That's a guy that you said last year, Ben, and I probably should have listened to you at the time, probably belonged in the top 30, so it may be a little bit misleading that he's a first-timer on our list. Number 17, Kawhi Leonard. His coming out party was in the 2014 NBA Finals, and he continued it through a strong season in San Antonio to where he looks like, again, out of all those guys, and it's a very team-based system, but out of all of them, he sure looks like the alpha dog going forward. Number 16, Derrick Rose. He was 14th a year ago, and again, he sort of is in the same place that he was a year ago, a great player, but ravaged by injuries. There's always going to be that question mark, and he had what is a typical Derrick Rose season, I think, at this point. Great production when he was in there, but hobbled by injuries. Number 15, slowly climbing up the list. He was 17th a year ago. John Wall, another one of these great point guards in this generation of players in Washington. Number 14, Carmelo Anthony, taking a little bit of a dip from 8th last year. He is going to have the question of the knee injury going into the next year, what he's going to look like. Father Time starting to catch up to him a little bit, but still one of the biggest impact scorers in the association. Number 13, highest debut on the list this year, Jimmy Butler. He cracks our list for the first time. What he did in Chicago, both in the absence of Derrick Rose and combined with him, was truly astounding. And we'll see if he can keep it up with the new coaching staff there next year, or at least a new head coach, I should say, with Fred Hoiberg. Number 12, Blake Griffin. He falls a little bit from 6th a year ago. And as you're going to see with a couple of these guys, we're going to be seeing this, I think, increasingly as we climb up the list. It's not so much a matter of slipping backwards. It's other guys who really vaulted ahead this year. And the higher you climb up the list, standing still is basically like falling back because there were a lot of guys who vaulted, and the next couple of guys certainly fit that mark. Number 11, DeMarcus Cousins. He was 24th a year ago, jumping 13 spots, third biggest jump on the list. In Sacramento, he has become perhaps the premier pure center in the league at this point. Number 10, Klay Thompson. He was 29th a year ago. He has our biggest jump on the list of guys who were on it last year, 19 spots. And very, very similar at number 9, just barely ahead of him, Kyrie Irving. He was 23rd a year ago. He has a jump of 14 spots. It's the second biggest jump. You saw both of these guys briefly, game one in the NBA Finals, getting to match up against one another, and they actually had that horrific collision that ended up taking Kyrie out for the remainder of the series. But both Klay Thompson and Kyrie Irving, with great surroundings and with franchise players around them, making huge jumps up the list this year. At the top of the second tier, just pushing up against, just shy of the first tier at number 8, LaMarcus Aldridge. He was 11th a year ago, and LaMarcus Aldridge certainly going to be the most intriguing free agent on the NBA landscape this summer. So, Ben, in looking at these guys from 8 to 19, As is sometimes the case, this might be the most intriguing group of guys.
Right, and most of the case it is, Rick. And this is one of those times where I look at the second tier, and I'm not really – especially when you ever do lists like this, there's always, like, some differing opinions. But most likely how it is really sort of stacked up from 18 and 19. There's not a guy that I would say doesn't belong on that list or doesn't belong in terms of where they're ranked. You could make another – you could use the Vucevic argument for Cousins being in the top 12. He had a fantastic season in Sacramento, but right now their whole management and owner Vivek Ranadive don't exactly have the full confidence of the fan base right now outside of the brand-new downtown arena being built. And, you know, if their old GM Pete D'Alessandro going to the Nuggets, it's going to be very interesting where that team goes moving forward in the George Karl era. You got to give credit for Jimmy Butler being at number 13, because I think a lot of us thought he was going to ascend to this level at certain periods of time, and it's clear that he's making that leap, that he is the main man in Chicago along with Derrick Rose. And, I mean, overall, there's not really too much of a real difference of opinions to me. You could go through the top 8 through 10, Aldridge, Irving, and Thompson, and flip-flop them any which way, and they would all assumingly be correct. The only thing I think the major argument within this section is based on injuries, like with Rose and Anthony. And you can argue Kyle Lowry had a great season, but it almost feels like that they were on this list because you want to build around them and not necessarily they were within the top 30 best current players in the NBA right now.
And that's what's very, very interesting, is that it comes down to measuring you know, what the criteria is when you go to build a team. And in terms of doing this as a pure draft to build a team instead of as a fantasy draft, that's what brings all these variables into question. And of the guys that you just mentioned there, while I'm a huge mark for him personally and have been ever since he first came to my Cavs, certainly Kyrie Irving at number 9, as we're seeing again here, first hobbled by the lesser injuries during the playoffs and then the broken kneecap. That's another guy that I think you can throw under the auspices of guys on this list who have a little bit of a question mark with them vis-a-vis injuries.
Right, and I think the major issue with a lot of the players on this list is that you're trying to build a franchise around them, and you're also trying to rank where they are within the league. And I think a lot of these guys are stars, but they have been injured in the past, and it's very tough to discern what is someone you build a team around and who is someone, you know, that is just one of the best pure players at this period of time.
Exactly. And we've got an exclusive list as far as, again, guys that it seems like you can build around at this point. And as it happens, again, Aldridge at 8, Irving at 9, Thompson at 10, and then down to 19. These are guys who just fall a little bit short of the top tier. But to now get to the top tier, and this is very, very interesting because, again, like I said, a year ago we agreed it was too deep. You were in concurrence with how I had it, LeBron 1, Durant 2, and then you draw a line. And I remember saying at the time that you wonder how the NBA is going to go, if it's going to go the model of the San Antonio Spurs, of where anyone that puts a pure team together can now trump star power, if there's really only truly two players in the league you can build it around, or if more guys are going to graduate to this level. And it ended up being the latter, because you've seen through the course of the playoffs, and now, regardless of how the finals shake out, and they are still in progress as we tape this, regardless of however it goes, a player on the top tier will be the NBA champion again this year. He will have a championship ring. But we start at number 7 with Chris Paul. He was 4th a year ago, tied for the biggest fall on this tier, again, only 3 spots. But as I said with some other players too, not so much a matter necessarily of falling back. I think Blake Griffin was actually another, ironically, a very good example of that. Not necessarily a matter of falling back, but it's how much other guys jumped and having to give them their due. The biggest jumper on the top tier is a guy, again, who wasn't on it last year, Anthony Davis. He was 15th a year ago, 6th this year. The eyebrow making a big, big, big move in New Orleans, and a guy who looks like he's going to be, if he stays healthy, a permanent fixture on this tier. Number 5, this is another very, very tough one to slot, because he is still one of the very best pure players in the league, the best pure scorer perhaps when healthy, Kevin Durant. He was 2nd a year ago, so again, tied for biggest fall on this tier, not a big one at 3 spots. very tough to slot because for the first time ever, you start to wonder about injuries and about how foot injuries can be very, very troublesome with a big man. And you tend not to think of him necessarily as a big man because he's a small forward, but at like 6'10", 6'11", he does have the height of one anyways. He gets surpassed by one of his own teammates at number four, Russell Westbrook. He was 10th a year ago, second biggest jump on the tier, and somebody who, again, when given the opportunity for the first time ever, did look like a franchise player in his own right and not merely an outstanding 1A piece in Oklahoma City there. Ironic that Oklahoma City has the fourth and fifth players on this list and didn't make the playoffs. That shows you, A, how tough the West is, and B, just how difficult it was for Oklahoma City to muddle through during the absences of both Westbrook and Durant, both of whom were hurt this year. At number three on the list, it's James Harden. He was seventh a year ago. Nice little jump to becoming a legitimate MVP candidate and the runner-up this year. Another big, big step in his evolution in Houston. We get to the top two on the list, and I first started playing around with this list in mid-May, and I had it in my mind this is the way I was going to go. And it might have seemed a little controversial at the time, and I think right now, as the playoffs have borne out, it is pretty much the consensus right now. Number two on the list, he was fifth a year ago. He's the NBA MVP this year, Stephen Curry. But you look at it, and you think to yourself, he was key, along with Klay Thompson and obviously some other guys, but to making that big step forward in Golden State, the 67 wins during the regular season, a very, very deserving MVP. How do you not have the MVP as number one on the list? Well, number one on the list is LeBron James, who I think has shown through the course of the playoffs that, again, if he were healthy the entire year and able to go, and technically he didn't sit out because of an injury, but he was basically just kind of beaten up in any number of ways and needed to get refreshed. And in so doing, he probably voluntarily relinquished his MVP status for this year. It was going to be hard to win it without a full season. But I think going head-to-head in the playoffs has shown LeBron single-handedly has the capacity to elevate his team in a slightly superior manner to what Curry can do at number two. So, as I said, Ben, we go from two to seven this year on our top tier. Some interesting choices and probably not too many of these spots that would be very controversial. But nevertheless, I'm still really interested in your analysis.
I think overall, you're essentially with these top seven or six guys up there, you're going to see them as premier talent. My only real argument on this part of the list is I would have Anthony Davis slotted ahead of Kevin Durant right now because Durant's injury is something that Oklahoma City fans have to keep an eye on. And it was really proven that Westbrook was able to carry the team in his absence. And right now, it finds to me being shocking that there are some guys on this list who fell because of injury, and there are some guys who vaulted higher because of non-injury and just from overall play. So, I mean, Anthony Davis is my only real argument to be within the top five. You could make him top four even, but I don't think you could argue against what Russell Westbrook did this season just in terms of winning his first ever scoring title and the insane amount of triple doubles he had during the season. And just overviewing it, these are the elites of the elites in the NBA right now. And you're really at this point just splitting hairs in terms of the top tier at this point.
I agree. And much like how you pointed out to me a year ago when we were doing this with Kyle Lowry, and I thought to myself immediately, yeah, I probably should have had him on the list. And that makes it somewhat deceptive when you see that he made the biggest vault onto the list this year of players who weren't on it a year ago, or the second biggest one behind Butler. In the same sense, I think it's a little bit deceptive with Anthony Davis because I will tell you, I had buyer's remorse about 5 minutes after I posted it last year because for Anthony Davis to have been 15 a year ago, I very quickly came to realize I probably had him slotted a little bit low then, and I may have him slotted a little bit low now. You're right that you could make an argument for him to be a spot or two higher, and it's very interesting because we'd had on the show previously somebody who had covered him down in New Orleans, their sideline reporter, and there was a comparison that was being made to him with Tim Durant, and FDH Director of Research Nate Noy has made a comparison to Hakeem Olajuwon. So These are some very, very lofty points of comparison in terms of his game. And he looks to be, out of all of these guys, he looks to be the guy who has maybe the best chance to be slotted a little bit higher next year, does he not?
Right, and I think it does. And it's going to be very interesting because whenever you have two guys on the same team, on the same portion of the list, like Durant and Westbrook, it's going to be very interesting to see OKC next season, because if they go back to full strength, they can be possibly one or two overall next year on the list if they play up to their potential and all that. But overall, I mean, you're not really going to make any real complaints about anyone in the top tier because they've all played well. Curry and Harden had MVP seasons. LeBron is LeBron. Westbrook was injured but had a spectacular year. Durant, in the small period of time that he did play, put up gaudy numbers that you can't really make an argument in that. And regarding guys like Anthony Davis, you know, he's just a pure talent that we haven't seen in the league for such a long time. And the last one in the list, Chris Paul, I don't think you're going to have a bigger argument that he is the best pure point guard right now on this list. So pretty much really no surprises on the first tier this time around.
Absolutely. And as you're going through it and looking at it, it does kind of highlight, does it not, that it is a strong era of the point guard. You've got Steph Curry, number two overall. And again, maybe not a pure point guard in terms of how he's always been through the course of his career, but somebody who clearly has way more than adequate point guard skills in addition to all the scoring and flash that he can bring you. But with Chris Paul on the list here, and you get down to the second list, guys like Kyrie Irving, who are very close to the top tier. You go a little bit further down, guys like Lillard, Derrick Rose, if he can stay healthy, John Wall. It really does seem like this is the golden era of the position, does it not?
I think it is, and one guy not on the list that probably should be deserving, Mike Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies, had another spectacular season, but it's not really much known regarding what's going on in that. And some other guys who might have been able to crack the list, his backcourt mate Marc Gasol was available. Also, DeAndre Jordan had his best field goal percentage season overall and definitely put in a defensive player of the year worthy performance this season. But overall, besides that, everyone seems to be slotted relatively where they should be slotted.
Exactly. And by the way, I think I had a little bit of a brain fart a second ago here. I did not credit the name specifically. I just said we're a Pelican sideline reporter. Of course, I'm speaking of the great Jennifer Hale with the comparison Anthony Davis to Tim Duncan. And that was a real eye-opener when she elaborated on that on the show. And one of the things, again, just to bring it full circle in terms of looking at the list, that I thought made it very, very difficult relative to the last couple of years. It almost felt like I was doing filler at the back end of the list, compiling it the last couple of years. This year was tough because you've got, again, none of the Atlanta Hawks making the list. We're talking about point guards here, and Jeff Teague did not make the list, nor any of the other Hawks. Of course, they had four All-Stars this year. And some other guys where you really, really could have made an argument for them. You're right about Connolly. You're also right about, his teammate, Marc Gasol. You could have made an argument for him. It was very tough to make Zach Randolph the sole representative of Memphis. So on and on it seems that, again, it seems like it got to be a little bit more difficult to make the cutoff at 30, to make the cutoff on some of the different tiers here as far as how it was going. And overall, Ben, I think this list to me illustrates that the league at this point is deeper in terms of top-level talent and also next-level talent, just be lower than that than it was a year ago.
Right, and to also note, too, not a single Milwaukee Buck also made this list, too, and you could make arguments for guys like Giannis and Brandon Knight to be within that edge of the top in the third tier. And there's still, I mean, the league right now is seeing a renaissance of great young talent come in. And based on this prior rookie class, you could see guys like Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker make their push this next season to being great. Also, another name that you could hypothetically make an argument for, Sixers forward center Nerlens Noel, was also a guy that put together a solid rookie season that we're going to probably see a lot more from him coming up, depending on what the Sixers' final plan is going to be for their roster.
That's true. And there are some guys coming into this draft class as well that a year from now could be potentially cracking this list. Maybe Carl Anthony Towns, who, again, FDA Director of Research, mm-hmm. Nate Noy, has compared his game at this stage to that of a young mailman Malone. So there are some guys that are going to be coming in who could be jostling for this as well. So it would be interesting if the progression keeps going in that direction and if making the cutoff for not just the top 30 but at some of the different tiers becomes a little bit more difficult even next year than it was this year. It seemed like the NBA won because, again, I'm in charge of doing the ones for NHL, MLB, and NFL also. And NFL, you can understand how difficult that is because of the multiplicity of positions. MLB is tough to do, largely because it's in season, but you've also got a lot of positions there. The NHL one always seems more straightforward. The NBA one, like I said, in past years it seemed like I was stretching to get to 30, no more, and it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case anytime soon with the depth that there is there. And again, in a great time for the NBA with the amount of talent out there, it's always great to be able to break it down with you, Ben, because, of course, everything at that NBALotteryPick.com is always going full throttle. Your coverage through the playoffs, through the draft, and beyond year-round, second to none. So always great to be able to bring you on to talk about it, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate it always, Rick. And another name that I think is going to vault up on this list next season, it seems very crazy to think of it right now, but there, I see a push next season from Chandler Parsons in Dallas. I really think he could be back on this list if everything shapes out with the Mavericks, shapes up with the Mavericks, or whatever I'm trying to say right there. I think he could be up in the top 30 next season.
Very possibly, yeah. There's a number of guys you could make a case for, and again, as you said, Parker and Wiggins. The great rookies from this year. We really didn't get a chance to see an entire season from Parker, but again, he should be showing more of that next year. Wiggins showed a lot of great flashes, even if there was a lot of criticism from him in some advanced stats quarters as far as his game. So, yeah, it's going to be an amazing time the next couple of years to be a fan of the NBA. It looks like the depth is back in the league, and it looks like the game as a whole is going to benefit from it. We'll be here to continue breaking it down and look forward to doing it on all these occasions with you. Again, Ben Chu, managing editor of that NBALotteryPick.com. Thank you so much for being a part of this, Ben.
All right, no problem, Rick. You have a good rest of your weekend.
You too, my friend. Thank you, everybody, also for joining us today for mini episode number 570 of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.